1979, Throwback Thursday, an amazing year. So much happened, and it was the last time we saw a total eclipse here in Canada, at least in a populated area. So that is where we're going to start the conversation. Smart Speakers, Faye Johnstone is here, co-owner and executive director of consulting firm Wisdom to Action, plus the best laugh ever. Karen Stintz, former city councillor and TTC chair, currently president and CEO of Variety Village and a federal conservative candidate. Hello, Karen. Hello, Faye. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane. Happy Always Thursday. A pleasure.
It is a happy Thursday, and it is a pleasure. Now, you can be minus in your years. The big reveal is on, though, 1979. Faye, where were you?
Oh, God. I was born in 95, so I was a decade or so in before being in a womb, even.
Minus 16. Karen, were you minus 16?
Oh, I wish. I wish I was minus 16. No, I was plus 9.
There you go. I haven't revealed mine yet. So in all fairness, I will say that I was 4. And it was the year that my family moved from Flin Flon, Manitoba to Port Alberni, BC. So back then, it was a two-seater like bench seat pickup truck with a canopy on the back. And the kids were in the box under the canopy because it was 1979. So...
Yes.
It's a long time ago. Times have changed. Times have absolutely changed. Okay, in conversation here, Tom McCare revealed his age with all of us too. Let's get started with 24 Sussex. I find this conversation absolutely fascinating. The idea is that Chrétien and Harper would take over a project that would crowdfund, essentially fundraise, with limitations on lobbyists. They're very clear on that too, to be able to get the money to get 24 Sussex fixed. Karen, where do you go with that?
I think it's a fantastic idea. And it's a shame. I mean, aside from the fact it's a tragedy that the building has been allowed to deteriorate to the point that it's uninhabitable, because I can't imagine that happening in any other G7 nation. But nonetheless, we are where we are. And, you know, here we have a bipartisan partnership to come together to raise the funds to restore the building. And I think it really does need to be acted upon, because it is not, this isn't, this isn't about a political party or a politician or even a prime minister. This is about Canada and having some pride of place and where our leaders inhabit the office for the time that they are there. So I think it's a great initiative.
Faye, what do you think? You're younger. You have a different look on this. This house is old and it's beat up.
You know, I would agree with Karen. I think it's a shame that our... like the prime minister's house is in a state of disrepair. I'm just picturing him saying, you know, to another world leader, come hang out in my country. I'll show you my nice house. Then he takes them over to a cottage. And so right. I think this is something where we need to set aside the partisanship. I understand why it's been difficult to move forward. These things are going to be politicized. But I think Chrétien and Harper have a great opportunity here to take the politics out of it and restore this home.
So tell me, Faye, wouldn't you like to see this with not with ex leaders and maybe current leaders to be able to, at least on some projects, just put tete-a-tete and come up with a couple of great ideas that maybe are good for the country? Because isn't that their job?
Well, I would say two parties are doing some great work across the aisle already, and there might be some others that are having a hard time engaging. But I do think we're at a time where, you know, everything is hyper-politicized, everything is polarized. And so, yes, I would love to see all of our political leaders come together and make something like this happen. And this is really low-hanging fruit to do it, but I don't expect that it's ever going to get done.
Well, maybe a bit of a benchmark. Okay, our two parties, Karen, doing great work.
Okay, that's loaded, because you know I'm also a conservative candidate.
So, yeah, I know. That's kind of why I threw it out there.
I know. That again, low-hanging fruit. Yeah, no. I mean, I think that they're really now exposing the fact that they have lost, I think, the heart and soul of the country. And, you know, they continue to make announcements and they continue to try to fix, you know, at the last effort, you know, their final hurrah is to, you know, try to convince Canadians that they know how to fix the problems that they created. And I think it's just a little too late. And, you know, we'll see if it can survive until 2025. But it just, you know, the way the country's feeling and the mood in the country, I don't even know how they're going to make it that long.
I find it, I all politics aside, because I don't reveal mine, but it's amazing to me from a pragmatic perspective how the NDP have gone from getting, frankly, their butts kicked to such a position of power. Regardless, I respect the fact, I may agree or disagree on some of the decisions, but the reality is that they have gone from nothing to something with not a lot of tools in the toolbox, which is quite impressive. Okay, 24 Sussex, the deal is that maybe Chrétien and Harper could put together some sort of private funding to either renovate or rebuild, to be determined. And what that looks like, Tom Mulcair said, I'll help out. Let me know. Proud to be there. The government is on the spending tour 2024. I mean, I don't know why we're waiting to hear from the budget. It's clearly not going to be balanced based on the amount of money that's being tossed about. Rental protection fund to preserve rent prices at $1.5 billion. I don't know why they'd want to preserve them. Karen.
Well, it is a bit curious, actually, what this announcement is all about, because it's not actually keeping rents preserved. It's actually keeping rental units from being sold, which is something I'm not entirely sure I understand. And the money is actually scheduled to go through not-for-profits or charitable organizations that deal with rental stock. So it kind of has the feel of another wee charity scandal brewing. And I'm not actually even sure how this is entirely going to get executed. So I think this is a big non-announcement, but until the details are revealed, it doesn't seem to me to be, it seems to be more of a, you know, listen to me feeling, and I'm feeling your pain, and I'm going to pretend I'm going to solve a problem, but I'm really not.
Yeah, and I think that one of the there's not a lot of information in the releases, by the way, that was there just for everybody to understand. One of them was that if it could be used for I'm summarizing, and I hope I get it right, but this is how I understood it. If it could be used for affordable housing, then a nonprofit's going to protect it from, you know, some profiteering shark, is really kind of what that basic summary was. Now, some of the words that were used in the speaking were, let's keep the rent to remain affordable at a stable level, and a loan program. Now, all three of those things are funny to me because I don't think they remain affordable at all. I don't think they're affordable here, and I don't think they're stable here. And you wouldn't need a loan program if interest rates weren't so high. I hand it to you.
You know, I agree on that front. But what I would say is I'm excited to see the contribution to nonprofit organization and community housing providers. When I first moved out of my parents' place, I had the absolute fortune of moving into a Centertown Citizens Ottawa Corporation building. And my rent in that building, it was nonprofit, was much lower than it would have been in any other part of the city or in any private landlord. And I was able to afford it and pay my bills and help pay for my education. And so I love the idea of our government getting back in the game of supporting nonprofit housing providers, because these organizations are efficient, because they've got to be efficient to maximize the amount of rentals, to make sure that they're, you know, prioritizing folks who are struggling to afford rent. And so I actually am really excited by that component. The loans piece, you know, that's, we'll see where it plays out. But strengthening nonprofit housing is an effective approach to address the housing crisis for those most impacted by it.
All right, it's Smart Speakers is the segment. Our guests right now are Faye Johnstone, that's whose voice you just heard. Karen Stintz is here as well. Let's go a little bit more local. The Greenbelt Review. Ontario Integrity Commissioner says they're not going to reopen it due to internal email. Now, I learned of this from afar, but I was not around Toronto when all of that unfolded. So this is where you're going to teach me something. We're going to touch on it very quickly here, friends, and then we're going to come back and talk about it more. Faye, why don't you take that? Not reopening it.
I don't. I have no words.
That's good. That's great. I appreciate the honesty. That's cool, Karen. We've only got about 30 seconds, so why don't you take it here? We'll come back to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything more we're going to learn about reopening it. I mean, there was some shenanigans that took place. They were called out on it and they reversed a decision. So, you know, we all know what happened and we don't want to go back and reopen that stinky pile of mess.
Are people looking for accountability, though? Do they want accountability in that? A little bit more.
They might, but I don't think they're going to get it. I don't think they're going to get it through this, you know, this email chain and reopening it. I think everyone really knows what happened, and the government moved on and they reversed their decision. So there's no more to see there.
Internal reviews should not involve searching through someone's Facebook friends, though. And that's fundamentally the basics of it. Okay, Smart Speakers is here. Topics are afoot, and we will take a little break, and we're going to come back and chat a little bit more, including 1979, and more topics here, including re-election and the impact on pensions and so much more. I'm Shane Hewitt. It's The Rush. Coming up in 10 minutes here, 1979 Throwback Thursday. We're going to get back to it and chat more about everything to do with this year of our last total solar eclipse, which was a lot of fun, 1979. Smart Speakers are here, and we are just batting around the ideas, different conversations, different things to chat about, and they do include Karen Stintz, former city councilor, TTC chair, currently president and CEO of Variety Village, and a federal conservative candidate, and we've got Faye Johnstone as well, co-owner and executive director of consulting firm Wisdom to Action on Zoom, and the two is a number two if you're going to give it a Google. Get on it. I'm Shane Hewitt. Thanks for being here. Okay, well, Karen, opportunity knocks for conservatives, it seems. NDP MPs, three of them, have announced they're not going to seek re-election, which gets into a couple of things. It gets into this notion of, you know, are some MPs just hanging on for the pension and they're about to pull the chute? The assertion is, of course, that it creates a lot of opportunity for conservatives when there's no incumbent.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the conservatives, NDP MPs that are retiring, I think most of them have enough longevity of service that they don't need to hang on for the pension. I think those are opportunities for the conservatives, particularly with the boundaries that have been redistributed and redrawn. And so it's interesting. What I guess I do find curious is why those MPs are, you know, waiting it out. Why don't they just resign and then call by-election, because that would actually be interesting. But, you know, it's their prerogative. But I don't think they're hanging on for the pension. I think they're just signaling their intent that it's they're not going to run again. Because I think to the point you made earlier, like, they're not going to be more powerful than they are now as a group. Yeah. And so when they're looking at the next cycle, they're thinking, do I want to go back to the back benches and do nothing? And the answer probably is no.
Now, Faye, you said that in our last segment there, you said there are two parties that are doing great things. I'm assuming that that includes this party in great things. But, I mean, that must be really discouraging to think that if that look is there, well, it's not going to get much better than this. It's time to tap out. That must be discouraging.
I don't know. You know, Charlie Angus in particular, like, he's been around for a good while. These other folks, I believe that they've been, like, they're veteran MPs. And so they've done the work. But, you know, what I really want to point out here is less about the fact that these three NDP MPs are retiring, and is more actually about how Pierre Poilievre reacted to it, which was him, you know, instead of saying congratulations, thank you for all that you've done, the service that you've given as an elected official to your community, he came out with an attack about Charlie Angus jumping ship rather than facing voters. And I just think that that is classless and beneath the leader of any political party. I'm still reeling from the fact that he would have the gall to tweet something like that when an MP announces their retirement.
Does anybody in politics say something until the going away party, though? I don't know if anybody does.
But to jump in right away, like, you can at least say thank you for your service. You know, to make it partisan, to make it a cheap attack.
In a professional context, Faye, I would agree with you. In the world where all three parties do nothing in the House of Commons but use it as an opportunity for social reels, I don't know if you can say that anymore. You can't say anything nice, because even the Prime Minister said, you know, clip that out for social media one day. That was only a few weeks ago. And actually just said that stuff. I think that the current climate says, don't be nice, you'll pay the price. And I find that really discouraging, Faye.
Well, maybe let's look and see when a conservative MP retires. Let's go back. I don't have the receipts on this, but I doubt that there was a note from Trudeau that said, ha ha, you're running away. Or, hey, you know, get out of here. We're going to put a new person in charge. Like, I agree with you that the tone of our politics is becoming more polarized. And I think there are many actors who are contributing to that. But I think that we should expect better from our leaders than to react with cheap partisan attacks when MPs, especially ones who've dedicated years of public service, are announcing that they're tapping out.
Karen, professionalism over politics?
Well, you know, I would expect that the professionalism note to come from Jagmeet Singh because, you know, he worked with these MPs. And so that would be the tweet I'd expect. I mean, the opposition that's looking to take the seat, I don't know if they're in the wrong to say, you know, we didn't want to face the music, so we're coming for you. That's just politics. And
yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, Karen, if you want to finish your thought. I was just going to say, in a boxing match, you don't see, there are still rounds to go. There could be 18 months to go here, and you don't see a boxer after the second round say, I just want to say, you're a good fighter. Let's fight these last three rounds. When the fight is over and the winner is declared, they put the hand up and they say, you are an absolute champion, blah, blah, blah. And I just, the fight's not over. I agree. Professionalism, absolutely. But in this particular case, in the court of public opinion, I mean, the fight's not over.
It's not over. And to, I mean, just to the point, if he had said, listen, I'm giving up my seat, I'm retiring, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go fishing, and then a by-election is called, well, then I would have expected a different response. But the reality is he's just, you know, hanging out for the next 15 months.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone had said something, and this is not on our script, so you guys can comment on this, is that, you know, there's so much toe the party line that goes on in federal politics today. Why do we have so many MPs and so many ridings when nobody seems to get their say, at least publicly? Maybe it's privately happening behind closed doors. These are the things I think Canadians want to change. Faye, do you think they will?
I don't think so. You know, I think we are seeing, you know, I think some MPs are breaking ranks and speaking out on issues that matter to them. And sometimes that's causing big trouble for their leaders. But I think that we are at a point where, again, the message matters more than the people in those seats. I've been waiting, you know, maybe it's a little bit in my lane rather than this one. But, you know, we've got a lot of MPs who for years have spoken out about the importance of LGBT rights and moving all of our parties forward. And now we've got a leader who is saying some things that cause me some concern. And we've got his MPs, who are historically some of our allies on these issues, literally running away from Hill Times reporters, because if they give a comment, they're undoubtedly going to get a slap on the wrist from their leader. And so close ranks. Say the message. Voila.
Yeah, for time, Faye, I'm going to give Karen a chance to respond to that one so we keep a balance. Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, no, I think that... I think it's really important to actually have local representation, even at the federal level, because certainly, in, you know, I've begun my campaign and I've seen firsthand how people have felt in some cases quite let down by the representation. And it doesn't mean that every MP is equal when decisions are made, but every MP has the opportunity to input into those decisions and reflect their community that they represent. So I think it's really important. And I think it's very important to have the diversity of voices at the decision-making table so that you can make the best decisions.
Faye Johnstone, co-owner of consulting firm Wisdom to Action, Karen Stintz, former city councillor, federal conservative candidate. Thank you for being a part of Smart Speakers.
Thank you, Shane.
All right. And tomorrow, more topics, more cool people talking about their perspectives on things. I'm Shane Hewitt. Okay, 1979, that was a great year, wasn't it? Where were you? 71010. You can share your stories. Well, an interesting story. We've heard so many stories around Toronto about what was going on. And let us dive into some of that. The Mississauga miracle. How about some direct inside storytelling from a guy called Doug? It was a long time ago, and some of you have even shared with us today. I forgot about that. Throwback Thursday continues. 1979 next. I'm Shane Hewitt.